Accession number 31415.
Reel 14. Now tell me about working in the officers' mess then.
Well, I didn't actually work. I worked in the mess as a steward. And my main job, what I did was I used to get changed into a white coat lunchtime, and I would do waiter service in the mess. And you was paid extra. The reason I volunteered, you was paid extra for this. And I used to be doing waiting, and of course I was with my mate, and he stayed in the mess. He stayed there all the time. But I stayed there for a while, not too long.
Why not?
Then I was called back to MT Troop. They were short of drivers. So I went back to MT Troop. But while I was there, we had another do. And during the time we were there, the old man wouldn't wear this div sign, what we had to put on our uniforms. On our KD at the time, we were still in Jungle Greens, funny enough. Still in Jungle Greens, in the desert, in Jungle Greens. And we still had 44 kit webbing. So we looked, the old man wouldn't put this div sign. It was a red pyramid with a yellow top and a yellow bit down. He said, "We're not wearing that bloody thing." So they offered him the other one with a camel. He said, "No." So what we did, to get round it, the 25th Independent Armoured Brigade was stationed at Benghazi, in Benghazi, North Africa. So what we did to get round it, they sent one Sabre squadron of our tanks and the crews and the squadron itself to Benghazi, and then they swapped over with the Scots Greys, and they sent a squadron of Scots Greys with their tanks to Shandour. Now the difference was they were still Centurions, but their camouflage was actually camouflage. It was black and buff and done in camouflage patterns on their tanks. And the one thing that got me was, by this time, I was stationed back down at MT Troop. And every morning, at 4:30, 4:45, because she was up in the morning, because we started work at 4:30, 4:45. Every morning, before that, 4:30, the Scots Greys used to walk round with a goatskin piano, waking the men up. You know, if you don't know what a goatskin piano is, it's bagpipes. And they used to come, and at 4:30, 5:00, that's the last thing you bloody want, isn't it? Bloody bagpipes walking through your lines. and then they were stationed with us, and this is how we changed. And then the old man put the div sign up, which was a white rhino on a black square with a white kind of long shaped circle. It wasn't dead round, it was egg shaped sort of thing. And it was a white rhino. Oh, and we put the white rhino up, 25th Independent Armoured Brigade. And we kept that till we come home. And the Scots Greys, they kept changing squadrons, and so did we. Sabre squadrons only. That's how we kept the div sign, because we was part of the that's what we painted out the old pyramid on the tanks and vehicles and put the 25th Independent sign up. And it made the old man happy, like, so everybody else was happy. And that was our major thing. We did have one or two incidences on road patrols with different terrorist organisations. We did have one or two problems.
Did you understand what was happening in Egypt? You know,
yeah,
the situation.
Our main job was to defend.
No, you said that. But did you understand who was attacking you?
Yeah, there was no name. They were just called insurgents.
And what were they doing? What sort of activities?
Well, they used to cut all the telephone wires and blow up the water mains from the Sweetwater Canal filtration plant. Because we had a filtration plant there, because it went through that because of the water, the condition of the water in the Sweetwater Canal. You could never drink the water straight from it. And if you fell in, you got about 10 needles when they took you out and took you to the hospital.
So they were. It was sort of low level. Were they shooting into the camp or anything?
At night time, yeah. Night time. They wouldn't do it during the day. They never did it during the day. And their main occupation was killing pyards.
What?
Wild dogs. That's what they are, pyards. don't know how you spell it.
Why were they were they a nuisance?
Yeah. Yeah. They
in
were.
What way?
Well, they used to get through the wire and scavenger. And then they would attack you because they went around in packs. And you know, if you've been bitten by a pyard, that's it. It's rabies.
So what were you doing? Shooting them?
Shooting them in the barbed wire. When they used to get caught in the barbed wire, it was only fair to them, wasn't it? Shoot them in the barbed wire. But some of them used to get through. And they knew where to go. They could smell it. They could smell the waste food. They could smell the waste food in the bins, you know? Well, that's another story. We used to have these workers. Egyptian workers, and they used to do all sorts. And they used to come and clean out the office's mess. They sat on toilet seats. We still had the same as what we had when we was in Korea, thunder boxes. But they had buckets with these, and they used to stand in the back of these lorries. They were civvy lorries, and if you was on duty, a certain duty, or you'd be called, you had to hang on the side of these, the cabs with these, with a loaded weapon, mainly a Sten gun, you know. They used to be in the back of these, standing in all the excrement, in these old 45-gallon drums, and they'd pour these buckets up. And the stench was atrocious. And they used to come and collect the swill and all, you know. But the tea leaves, when they used to come for the tea leaves were spent putting another dustbin kind of thing we had. But it had holes, strainers, in the bottom. And I'll tell you what they used to do. The tea leaves were strained, and then these Egyptian workers used to have these. When we used to get dehydrated cabbage out there, you know, we used to get some fresh food, but we used to get still got a lot of dehydrated. And they used to have these, and they used to all had a bike, and they used to fill these cans up with dried tea leaves. What they used to do was put them out on a sheet out of these dustbins. And dry them in the sun, right? Then they'd gather them up, put them back in these tins, and they'd go home, and the wives would put them in paper packages, and they'd sell them in the village, and they'd reuse them for the local inhabitants. Yeah, they used to do all that kind of thing. Go through the swill, getting certain things out of the swill, you know, like bones, meat bones, and cook them. That's how they lived. On the side of the Sweetwater Canal, just across from our camp, these workers lived, and they lived a pathetic life, a terrible, terrible life. And they used to wash and crouch over and crap into the Sweetwater Canal and watch it float by and all that kind. And they'd drink that water, drinking. Oh, God. And, of course, another thing we used to do, our old Puggy Cooper was Provo Sergeant. He was part of HQ and his RP staff. And we had taken over from the 4th Tank Regiment. We had pigsties behind the guard room. And we reared. They were left behind by the 4th Tanks. We bought them off of the 4th Tanks, apparently. We bought these pigs. We paid the money for the PRI. Because it was belonging to the PRI, set it all up. And, you know, and they bought these pigs. And they reared them. And there was a sow and a boar, and they used to breed from them. And then they used to send them out, sell them to other regiments. Well, we had these pigsties. An old Puggy, he was made a provost sergeant. And he's long gone now, Second World War, wasn't he? And old Puggy used to have these, and they used to look after the pigs. Well, we had a special, I forget what it was to do with, something to do with history. I can't remember what, because we celebrated all the different cavalry battles that the regiment were in, especially the big ones, where they won, you know what I mean, over the centuries. And, it was St. Patrick's Day. That's it, St. Patrick's Day. Anyway, what they did, they come up from the cookhouse to kill one of these, an old boar, what we had, an old. It was massive. And I was sent up there with the free tunnock to bring it down back to this big one of the big cookhouses what we had. So I went up there and I was watching, and they was trying to catch this bloody old sow, and it was running around the outside. Anyway, they eventually caught, not a sow, it was a boar, what they killed, boar. And they eventually killed, and they had this bloody club hammer from, they had a club hammer from the workshop, and a metal block, and of course they got hold of the pig's steel name. And then they got, whack it. Well, the poor bugger was, where? I was in the guard room waiting, and the squealing it did. Eventually, they killed it. So I had to get him in. We got him in the back of the free tunner, and we had to get him down to the cookhouse as quick as possible. And the reason for that was, we had to get him there, and they had this big kind of bath thing with boiling water and a fire underneath it, and they threw him in it. And the reason they did that was that's the only way you can shave a pig. You've got to throw them in this boiling water while it's still boiling, and you lift them out and you shave it. And they did it with knives, cook's knives. Anyway, I watched them do this, and then they hung him up, cut his throat, and then they drained all the blood off, and they put it in a Dixie, because they used that. They made black pudding with that, didn't they? The cooks did. They actually made, and then they, after two or three days, they butchered it up. They didn't take everything off. They left it whole with its head on. And then they spit roasted it. And then they were glazing it, and they'd done all sorts to it. And then when the regiment, even the officers came to this cookhouse, that's how big the cookhouse was. The officers didn't dine at the mess on St. Patrick's Day, nor the sergeants. They all came down to our dining hall. And they dined. They had their top table, like, they didn't dine. The squadron leaders and that dined with the squadrons, each squadron, and sat with the squadrons. But in the main, the old man and the OC and that, they dined at a top table with, you know, and the regimental silver was laid out for St. Patrick's Day. All the silver was laid out. And we had another thing, was a bloke come from a piper came. We never had, it was the only time we had a piper, Irish piper. And they brought the pig in, and this bloke was in front with playing a lament on the pipes, and they brought him in on like a stretcher, and this glazed pig with this apple in its mouth. It was magnificent to see it laying on this stretcher. Everybody was amazed, you know. And we all had shamrock in our berries. That's the only time we wore our berries, sitting at the table. But when you sat down to your meal, you took it off. But we all had shamrock. Flew it out, you know, for St. Patrick's Day. They flew it out. And we even had some, they even had St. Patrick's Day in Korea. They flew the shamrock out. And then we had, after that, we had a big do. Where they put floorboard in. Oh, we cleared all the tables back. After the dinner and the meal, they cleared all the tables, all the trestle tables. And there was a stage in the dining hall. And the regiment, we had our own dance band. Because by then the regimental band was out. But we also had a dance, there was part of the regiment band, but we had a proper dance band. About a 12-piece dance band. We had the lot, saxophone players, trombone, proper drum kit for the, you know, not a regimental drum kit, but the proper dance band drum kit. And we had a ball that night, an all-ranks ball. And of course there was women there. They came again by buses, they came by bus. To us this time. In the meantime, after we'd been there a while, they had to open up the VD clinic. Do you want to hear about that?
Yeah.
So anyway, there was 70% of the regiment were still getting treatment. And anyway, what happened was, this lady brigadier or whoever she was, she called, she put all the Women's Royal Army Corps on parade that she was in command of. And she told them about the men of the regiment. And you will have nothing to do with the 5th Royal Enniskillen Dragoon Guards, because 70% of them are suffering from venereal disease, one disease or another. Well, then it got around, didn't it, in the garrison, in the canal zone. Because they were going down for treatment, and I used to have to take them by wagon loads. And they opened up the clinic. They'd been shut for 20 years, because it was a free zone. Same with malaria. We brought malaria back with us, didn't we? So anyway, she made a speech, and it was put in the local, not the local newspaper, but a military newspaper, which was running the canal. I forget the name of it now, what it was called. Anyway, she was made to come and bring a detachment of a Women's Royal Army Corps and make a verbal apology. The whole regiment was on the square. It was a desert square, but it was a square. Regimental square with a podium and everything on it. And the band was there in full dress, scarlet helmets. Bloody red hot tie. She had to make a public apology.
Why?
Because of to tell everybody what we had, you see. She had no right to say, because it venereal disease, even members of the regiment didn't know which ones had got it, because it was kept secret. It was a personal thing between you, whoever had it, and the MO. And if he was under, and it was very, and if you, your night, you never put your name in a book. If you went to a personal aid centre in Japan, mainly in Japan, PAC centres they were called, they were dotted all over for the whole of the Commonwealth. You never put your name, you put your last three and your regiment. That's all you put.
Now,
it's personal.
Where were they picking up VD? There or in
Korea? Not in Korea, into Japan.
They got it there, hadn't
they? Yeah, yeah. And they brought it, and they were under treatment on board ship, you see. But it was all kept secret. Nobody knew who'd got it. But we did amongst ourselves, didn't we? We knew who was got what and why. We had one bloke in the regiment. He was with us. He was transport. He was a driver. He called it so many times, he'd become, what's the word? Not immune. What is it when you're more or less sterile?
Oh, impotent.
Impotent. And he had they couldn't cure it. He had a permanent drip, and he was sent home, definitely sent home.
Now,
and he was discharged from the army.
Now, were you allowed out and about in Egypt, or were you kept
no.
to the camp?
Well, we could once we got down to we went by truck. By TCV, and that was my job if I was on duty. If I was the duty driver, we used to use the TCV with an escort, and they'd go down, and a three-tonner. We used to use two trucks, TCV, and mostly NCOs in there. And then the truck was used for other ranks, right?
To go where, though?
Down to Fayed. And you used to go in the
green... What did that offer you?
Well, mainly it was only the Green Valley, really. It was a beer hall, massive beer hall, with a garden. A big garden. You know what they called a garden? For tables, chairs, and parasols, and all that was in there.
Was it a good place, the Green Valley?
Yes,
what was
it
like?
Nice. They had a dance floor, an open-air dance floor as well. And it had a band. And they used to be mixed, because they used to come, the ATS, the Women's Royal Army Corps, WAFs used to come. I called them, but they was called the Women's Royal Air Force. By then, they'd all changed their names, hadn't they? We never had any Wrens. No Wrens, because they was down in Port Said and Port Suez. So we never had any of them. But most of the detachments were on QAs. We had Queen Alexander Nursing, those that weren't on duty, they'd come for the evening to the Green Valley. And one particular night, a Barney, and I mean a Barney. It started with there was a Scotch bird, and of course we were there, and we were in uniform, right, in jungle greens. We still had jungle green, and. This Scotch bird, she'd had a load of drink. We told Geordie Wright, not Geordie Duggan. She was sitting at his table. And he told her to shut up. So she wouldn't shut up. She'd had a few drinks. Typical Glaswegian she was. And she kept shouting the odds about, you blokes think you're bloody tough because you've been to this place, Korea, she said. But you're dealing with the paras now, she said. First and third para. So Geordie Duggan told her to be quiet, and even some of these parrots told her to be shut up, but she didn't. So she got one of our berries, and she grabbed it off the table, apparently, and she threw it across the ballroom floor. That was it. So Geordie Duggan gave her a knuckle sandwich. And he gave her a knuckle sandwich, he broke her nose. He sent her, well, that was it. A fight broke out, because these parrots that were sitting jumped up and started a barney. So then all the boys got in, and it was a melee. It was real a punch-up. And a couple of the guys came in that were on escort duty and fired a Browning machine gun in the roof. He had the rounds of ammunition around his shoulder, and he walked in, and everybody stood still. And then he said, I told you it would be bloody quiet. So he said to this bird, I want you to go round and collect every red berry in this billet, in this camp, in this place. And she went round collecting the red berries, and he put them in the middle of the floor. He poured whiskey all over and set fire to them. He said, the first man that makes his move will get a bullet in the fucking head. And that's how he said it. And we all backed off out of we backed off out of the Green Valley. We got on our trucks and we came back with our escort. Anyway, the next day the old man had to have us on parade, so the whole lot of us that were down there, not all of us were there, the old man had us on parade. He said, I'm not going to charge anybody, he said, because this was a severely provoked attack on the regiment. And you only did what was right, and it became serious, you know what I mean? And that was another reason that they had to come and make an apology. And the military police came, and when the military police came and saw the situation, they backed off. They didn't want nothing to do with it. They didn't want nothing to do with it. So they came, they backed off, and they got us out of town. We come out of town because we was all bloody armed. We weren't, but we had arms and ammunition, you know, and we didn't hesitate to use them, and we didn't hesitate, like, on patrols, we didn't wait for the order to open fire.
You've not mentioned patrols. What patrols?
We used to do road patrols.
Did you do them?
Yeah, I went on road
patrols. Tell me what they were like.
Oh, well, they were just, we used to do it with two dingoes, two armoured scout cars.
And
a 1500 weight with assault troopers in the back.
And what would you drive?
If I was detailed to drive, I'd drive that 1500 weight on these road patrols. Now, our game was, we used to patrol, and we used to, not all the time, but on the dingoes, they would switch on searchlights. They were about that big. And then we would sweep the desert. And whatever was moving, we'd open fire. No question. No question. No orders. We would open fire. We had a senior NCO, a sergeant, a corporal, and a lance corporal in charge. And the lance corporal was in charge of the guys, the assault troopers. And they used to jump out and go forward into the desert. And they would set up, and then they would set up machine gun posts. And then we'd sweep the desert with the finger bobs. And then while I was sweeping with the... No, it didn't happen all the time. But once we'd been fired on, that was it. Another time would be we had a barrier. We had a roadblock outside our camp. Centurion facing one way. And the other centurion facing... Say, one facing east, one facing west on the road. In between those, the vehicles and the civvy vehicles and the Egyptian vehicles had to weave through sandfield oil drums. Now, we had one idiot, happened more than once, and we had a round up the spout in the tank, a 20-pound round up the spout in both ways, and all the machine guns, the two machine guns was ready, and close the boat. Anyway, we had one bloke try and do a runner with a wagon load of melons. And he tried it with this old bloody old truck. Well, the reason why, because they carried, this is how they carried a lot of their weaponry, laying in the bottom of these melons, transporting weapons from one part of Egypt to another, the terrorists. And so we opened fire, and he didn't get far because they put a bloody round. He got down the road and they opened fire with the tank, and it blew the bloody thing apart with an HE. It blew it apart, literally. There was melons going everywhere. And of course, when the blokes got to there, they were searching. The two wogs were dead. The two Egyptians were dead, which would be natural, wouldn't it? And they searched for weapons. They found no weapons. Didn't find weapons of any sort. No weapons of any sort. But that was our way of sorting things out. And after that, we never had any more problems. We had one or two with cars who tried it, but we just used to use small army ammunition and go for the petrol tank. You go for the petrol tank, they wouldn't get far. And if an HE went in the petrol tank, a tracer, the bloody taxi went up, didn't it? Mainly with taxis. Walk taxis, you know. And other than that, and their main aim when we used to do the road patrols was about the filtration plant, the pumping station. We used to have to guard the pumping station.
Did you do that?
No, didn't know guards down the pumping station. The infantry did that. The South Lancs used to do all them kind of guards. We just used to do and guard our own bridge. Must go upstairs.
Now, back into the roadblock. So would you be on the guards on the roadblock?
Yeah, I've done guards on the roadblock because everybody, doesn't matter what your job was, you all did a turn, even from the squadrons, they all did a turn. So it didn't come round too often, see? You did a turn doing guards and the roadblock, and you'd be in a slit trench on the roadblock. There'd be one each side, in the slit trench with the machine gun, because you don't need a bloke with the belt on a Browning. It loads itself out of the box. So there'd be one man in each side in the slit trench. Then there'd be two or three blokes checking the vehicles as they went through, checking the vehicles, lorries, cars, whatever, looking in the boot, looking in the engine, lift up the bonnet.
So would you do the searching?
Yeah, we'd do the searching.
Where'd you look? I mean, how far would you go? Because you can tear vehicles to bits if you want.
Yeah, well, with the lorries, we used to look underneath all the chassis. They were the easiest. It was the cars that were the hardest, because you couldn't very well, it would take you too long. You couldn't very well keep lifting all the seats out. But you'd check under the driver's seat and the seat and lift up the rear seat, open the boot, look in the boot, you know what I mean? And then have a mirror on a stick to look underneath the car to see if they've got any weapons. Not to see it explode, but to look for weapons. Because they would do all sorts of tricks. I mean, to move weapons, move them about, you know. What it was as bad as... Well, actually, sometimes it could be worse than being in Korea. I mean, at least you knew you was fighting a war. But with this other business, you ended up... There were so many duties to do at night. You got every other night...
So what were night duties then?
Well, different guards, all different types of guards. Road patrols, guards, and there was only so many men could do it. You know what I mean? Everybody had to do it. And you'd be lucky to get two nights in a bed. Even in Egypt, you'd be lucky if you got two nights straight off in a row. Otherwise, it was guard one night, road patrol, and then you'd have a night in bed. Then the following night, you'd be on road patrol, plus your day work duties. You never got a time off. You carried on 24 hours. I mean, if you'd done a road patrol duty one night, when you came off road patrol in the morning, in the morning, you carried on with your normal duties. See? So but the only time you see, and if you wouldn't be on duty driver. You never got away with that, you see. Sometimes later on, in things did change, but not in Egypt. Didn't change till we got home.